Here we go.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to Bison Report Radio, brought to you by Big Deck Barbecue Company and the fine folks over at Herd and Horns. Zach, how was the intro over the phone?
It was fantastic. It hits every time. It doesn't matter where you hear it from. I'm dancing in my room here in the Airbnb in Orlando.
Yeah. Everybody in your cars, at the gym, wherever you're rocking this podcast right now, just boo. Boozak.
Was it cold up there, guys? Did something happen?
It's 10 degrees below zero.
It's been 85 degrees and sunny all week.
I know. I need to hit a golf ball outside, man, or I'm going to lose my mind. Straight up. I need to hit one, and I need to see it land. It can't hit a screen.
Right. Yeah, I haven't even picked up a golf club, so you're ahead of me.
Right on. We got news.
We do.
We got news left and right. We just broke some news.
Yeah, you did.
A light sprain of news.
Yeah.
We've got a defensive staff restructure at North Dakota State. We've got an All-American linebacker in the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. We have talking points.
We do. We have stuff.
What would you like to start with?
Well, let's start with the fresh stuff. Let's break down this shakeup that's happened on the defensive side of the room.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Because we kind of looked at this like, all right, they need to be able to go get a guy who can recruit skill kids, like not necessarily right. Specifically in Georgia, though. It sounds like, by the way, the guy's name is Lewis Walker. Young man, defensive back, played at Hawaii, played at Utah, has been part of the Monmouth staff for a while, probably worked with my guy, Gordon Hill, shout out G, at Sacred Heart for a little bit. Lewis Walker, though, is a guy that we talked about. Okay, nothing is helped by another Dan Larson. And I'm not being tough on Dan. What I'm saying is, like, hiring another really good football coach from a recruiting side now, not from a coaching side, but hiring another really good football coach from the upper Midwest who knows a bunch of high school coaches in the upper Midwest is just not something that they needed. It's not something that they needed to add to that. You know, Roll knows everyone. Randy knows everyone. Matt knows everyone. Bronny knows everyone. Cody has the Nebraska ties. Like, you just keep going on and on and on. And the Bison don't need help recruiting the upper Midwest. What they needed to get back to is the Kobe Johnsons, the Dom Joneses, the guys that Buddha Williams was able to grab. And I think that they have a good fit there. And honestly, I like Cody as a fit at safeties a ton, and I love bringing in Lewis Walker at corners, man.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of talent in that corner room, and I think Cody from what I understand, is also going to be stepping into more of that special teams role, where he is a genius with that stuff. But, you know, you think about that safeties room with two veteran leaders in Tut and Dawson Weber. I think that's a great fit for him to kind of slide in. And then, you know, the other thing that excited me is that Braun kind of has that freedom to touch every part of the defense now, not just spending time in practice coaching one position group. He can go help with the DNs and see what the D tackles are doing and, you know, check in on the linebackers all in the same day, which I think is a huge ace up our sleeve to kind of free up that time for Coach Braun.
Yeah, and so that's the other side of it, I guess, that we haven't really said out loud, is that Braun is no longer a position coach, which is a strange thing for NDSU. You know, Kleiman was a defensive backs coach when he was the DC. Matt Antz was a linebackers coach when he was the DC. This is really an overarching, you know, where he's really going to get to touch everything. And I'm with it, man, because you go back and you look at, and Braun is such a superstar. Like, I really think he's going to be a head coach at this level, if not a higher level. I'm really, really impressed with him. And ultimately, he's done it all, man. He's been a safeties coach at North Dakota State, been a defensive line coach at Northern Iowa, been a linebackers coach at UC Davis, but you know, like he has coached all three levels of the defense. So his understanding of it is so deep. Not just like, okay, I very much understand defensive football. I very much understand what all 11 guys are supposed to do. He's coached the minutiae. He's coached the nitty gritty aspect of all of these positions. Very impressive. Nick Gazer getting a little bit of a promotion here from defensive tackles coach to defensive lines coach. Shout out Goose. Phenomenal. Yep. Phenomenal guy. Phenomenal recruiter in the state of Wisconsin. And like we said, you know, Cody Morgan, I think is going to be a great fit at safeties coach. And Brett Watson, the defensive quality control coach that they brought in after Lee Pronchinski took the defensive coordinator job at Minot State, Brett Watson was either the defensive line coach or the defensive ends coach at Incarnate Word before taking the QC job here. So, no, he doesn't count as a coach, and he's technically just quality control. But you've been there with Cattell helping with the offensive line during practice, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
These guys are going to be able to help out, and Watson's specific expertise is on the defensive line. They've got a former defensive line coach in Bronny, a very, very, very veteran defensive line coach in Nick Gazer, and a veteran defensive line coach in Coach Watson. They're not going to suffer there.
No, and that's awesome because, you know, everything starts up front, you know, especially in the defense, or especially in North Dakota State. It all starts in the trenches. So any expertise you can add to get those guys greased up is always good. And like you said, you know, these quality control guys never get the credit they deserve. And, you know, shout out to my guy, Coach B, and then Coach Sanger on the offensive side of the ball. They're an extra coach out there. You know, they don't get the life and the fame of being a position coach or whatever you want to call that. But those guys grind harder than anybody else in the room. So, I mean, he, you know, Coach Watson coming in was a position coach at the FCS level. So for him to come in and take a QC job kind of speaks to how special this place is.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And from a standpoint of developing coaches, both quality control guys took Division II coordinator jobs. I mean, they're at the head of the room now.
Yeah.
And very happy.
Cody Morgan was a QC guy as well.
Yep. Yep. Coach Sanger, though, put a pin in that one.
Yeah. That's absolutely.
That's a guy I want back at North Dakota State as soon as it's makes sense.
Yeah, me too. Just so I can
he's a star.
Hang out with him. He's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a star.
Yep.
Jasir Cox.
Yeah.
Help me remind people here, because I'm going to come off as a fan. I'm going to come off as unsupportive, et cetera, et cetera. When Josh Hayes entered the portal, did I complain or did I suggest he not do that?
Absolutely not.
Did I do that for Jabril Cox?
Nope.
I really struggle to see. Look, I get 1,000% what he's trying to achieve. That's very simple. He's trying to achieve his best path to the National Football League. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
I struggle to see how this makes sense. And if he, and he wouldn't, but if the young man asked me for advice, I would tell him to, I would ask him very succinctly what he thinks is going to get accomplished. And, mm-hmm. and outside of that, what he thinks he's going to do. I mean, because here's the thing. If you don't think, because he's not an NFL linebacker, he's listed at 6'1", 209. That's probably with cleats on. You know, he, like, you see him taking a lot of pictures with Phoenix Sproles. He's not that much bigger than Phoenix Sproles. He mm-hmm. is very, very elite in what he does and is the type of player that is an amazing sub linebacker. Maybe in the NFL he could be a big time special teamer, be a dime linebacker. Mm-hmm. Like, I cover the Packers. They use Joe Thomas, who was a lower level, I think, an FCS guy. I'd have to look up his college, but he was a smaller guy and he came in on third and long and matched mm-hmm. up with guys. And I think that's kind of where Jasir might fit in.
Right.
There's certainly no position in the FCS better than Sam linebacker at NDSU. Basically, a position that his brother and Travis Beck helped invent, which is where
right.
you're able to carry slot receivers, but you're also, you know, a linebacker. His brother had every offer under the sun. His brother's also two and a half inches taller than him and 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
I just think that the position that they've created for him at NDSU showcases his talents in such a way that it's perfect for him. It's a perfect spot for him. And
right.
here's the other aspect of it, Zach. And I'm not so dumb as to say there's nothing in this life bigger than North Dakota State. I'm not that dumb. What I will say though is it's 2021. It doesn't matter anymore where you played. Christian Watson mm-hmm. is going to get drafted exactly where he would have gotten drafted if he would have gone to Florida State.
Right.
Dylan Raiden's got drafted exactly where he got drafted if he would have gone to the Gophers, except he wouldn't have received as good of offensive line coaching and probably would not have. I'm serious, though. Like, he look
yeah,
at,
yeah.
you know, Jabril Cox.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jabril Cox, I've talked to NFL people. This is a fact. Jabril Cox may have had a fantastic showcase at LSU and been arguably their best player. Jabril Cox did not get drafted any earlier because he transferred to LSU.
Right.
It's just a fact. And this is NFL people talking. This isn't me talking. This is me asking the question because I wanted to know.
Yeah. You know, I think just from a lot of perspective, I mean, it's being a rational person, right, and having multiple thoughts from different perspectives at one time. But, you know, I just want to say I'm proud, first of all. You know, everybody usually is when fan bases get ugly is when people enter the transfer portal that they think should stay or they think it's best for them. I didn't see much of that. So first of all, shout out to everybody. You know, there's no reason to be in people's DMs and shaming a choice they make. But second of all, the point you just made, it's never been more true that if you're talented, they'll find you. And right now, like, we're just proving it by turning out NFL talent at North Dakota State. And I think, you know, there's so many different perspectives that could go into this, right? Like, Jasir's point of view could it be that just that he wants to experience that FBS lifestyle, you know, go to a big school, a big college town and play in front of 110,000 people, whatever. I don't know where he's going or what offers he's looking at. Maybe he wants to be closer to home, to his family in Missouri, you know, something like that. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this decision that involves nothing on the field. So, you know, I'm always pro player and always think that if they think it's the best choice, they should make it. As an NDSU fan, it sucks because I love Jasir and I love the edge that he brings to the defense and how he can play and, you know, both Cox brothers, if you needed a big play, it always seemed like they were ready to step up and get the people on their feet. And now I'm just hoping the best for him. Wherever he turns out, I hope it leads to the NFL if that's his dream, or, you know, just experiencing that big time FBS lifestyle, like I said.
Yeah, and I want to make something clear. Like, I support him for sure, and I'm going to mm-hmm. be a huge fan of him wherever he goes. But look, there are cautionary tales, and everybody, K-State. And it's almost too bad that Josh Hayes ended up at K-State, because that's always, you know, Jabril hits the portal. Oh, K-State. No, has nothing to do with that. Josh Hayes hits the portal. Oh, K-State. No, it has nothing to do with that. Now Jasir Cox hits the portal. Everybody, oh, K-State.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. Although I will say, they're a perfect fit. Like, if that's what he wants to do, go play for Klanderman and Kleiman, and go play driving distance from Kansas City, where your family can see every game. Like, whatever. But every high-profile NDSU person that hits the portal is not going to K-State to play for Kleiman. Like, Hayes got there because, and he'll probably admit this, Hayes got there because he's a cautionary tale just like Adam Cofield. He saw bigger and brighter things on the other side of the pasture, and didn't like what he found, and got hurt and didn't play a ton at UVA, and you know that didn't go great for him. I would say Cofield, I don't know what he's up to, but like I don't think his time at Western Kentucky improved his stock, you know. And there are always going to be, I mentioned a stat, there's like 27% of the kids find a new home. 73% of the kids in the portal just don't find a new home, period.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, like you said, man, it's a scary business. And you and I know that the letter of the law is that coaches aren't supposed to reach out to players beforehand. And obviously, I'm not accusing anybody of anything or know at all what's going on. But you and I both know that rules don't get followed in college football. So I would imagine that if there's something lined up, I obviously do not know that. I think K-State is honestly the best option. Like you said, he's within driving distance, playing close to home, stuff like that. And then obviously it's the coaching staff that knew him when he was coming out of high school. It's so funny, even when those coaches left at K-State, and especially we got a taste of it because C-Rouse was leaving, people that weren't even in the transfer portal, I was hearing about from NDSU fans about leaving the K-State. You know, I remember hearing that Dylan Radins and Cordell were going to follow C-Rouse to K-State. I'm like, these guys aren't even in the portal and you're pointing them to K-State. So, you know, it is kind of crazy how that happens. Obviously, I think Josh is good enough to play at the next level, and I hope that playing at K-State leads him to that. It's kind of unfortunate what happened at UVA and, you know, him moving there to be closer to his daughter. But like you said, it's a cautionary tale. It doesn't work out for everybody. And really, you know, what you consider a win in the transfer portal for Jabril, I really don't know if he improved his stock at LSU. So how much does it really matter? But that being said, just personally, if I, you know, had the resume that those guys had before they transferred and I wanted to play in Death Valley, I'm going to look at that opportunity if I have it. So, there's a lot of stuff, like I said, that goes in into a decision like this. But like you said, we're the team here at BR is supporting just here no matter where he goes.
Absolutely. And speaking of someone else we support, we've got New Jersey Generals wide receiver Darius Shepherd coming up real shortly. But before that, Zach, talk to me about Championship Gold.
Hey, man, I put some out on Twitter, on the Big Deck Twitter, the excitement for this thing has been huge. People that haven't even tried it are lining up out the door to get it. So you and I are just as excited as everybody else. We're coming back from Florida and we're going to get it out to everybody. They're going to have it in their hands soon. But make sure you get your orders in because it is going fast. And once the pre-order is gone, it's gone.
Absolutely. All right, brother, you have a good time. Travel safe. Get back to the cold. We'll see you later.
Cool. See you, buddy.
All right, want to thank Zach for his time. Let's bring on former NFL wide receiver and former Bison wide receiver, Darius Shepherd. Here with former North Dakota State wide receiver, Darius Shepherd. Shep, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ross. How are you?
I'm good, man. Obviously, congratulations is in order. You're going to be part of the rebirth, if you will, of the United States Football League. Well, kind of want to go back in time, your opportunity, of course, with the Green Bay Packers, and then kind of bouncing around the league. And I want to kind of go back, I guess, to your time in Green Bay, because there's some, you know, situations on the football field, you know, mistakes that, that you made, things that just didn't happen, you know, during your time at North Dakota State. And how difficult was it to kind of really accept sort of failure for the first time in your football career?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was, I've dealt with adversity in my life, but that was really the first time on the field where, you know, you have things go wrong, and for it to be on such a big stage, and you have such, you know, big hopes for how your career is going to go, and you want everything to work out perfectly like a Cinderella story. But going through those things definitely made me a stronger person, and helped me to realize where I was weak in certain areas. And it's allowed me to grow and focus on those different areas over the past couple of years and just improve my game. And, you know, obviously you wouldn't want that to happen, but it's part of my story. And, you know, I look forward to continuing to play and hopefully get another opportunity to right those wrongs.
Yeah, because frankly, the beginning to your professional football career was a Cinderella story. I mean, nobody gets signed off of a tryout. Nobody makes it through camp and is kept as the sixth wide receiver. Like, that was that way. So, the you know, that goes the way that it does, doesn't turn out the way you want. How do you, you know, whether it's conversations with your family, conversations with your agent, conversations with ex-teammates, whoever, how do you not get down? How do you, you know, keep your nose to the grindstone and say, you know, I'm not done. I'm going to keep going and continue to pursue this career.
Yeah, man. I mean, it wasn't easy. I think I found myself in a dark place for a little bit, but I think going through that helped me to get where I am today. And I had a lot of support around me, a lot of people that, you know, stood by my side. And, you know, there was obviously a lot of haters, and, you know, rightfully so. You know, you make mistakes on that stage. It is what it is. But, just learning from those things and becoming a better man, I think, was just the biggest bright side of it all. But, yeah, I think just going back to Green Bay, like you said, it was kind of all catapulted really fast for me. And going from people not thinking you deserve to be drafted or undrafted to now you're on the field playing, I just think that I didn't have the – not necessarily the maturity, but I wasn't just ready for that moment. I think you see a lot of guys who, you know, maybe go on practice squad and they get to grow and develop and see how it goes. And I think just me being out there, I maybe just had prepared right. I don't want to say starstruck, but just kind of like it was a big moment. And I think now having those experiences, I'm able to look back on that and use that to my advantage.
Yeah, I mean, due to injuries, due to stuff that was going on, you went from camp darling to, hey, we need you to basically contribute to a Super Bowl contender, and we need you to do it right now.
Right.
2021 had to have been interesting. I'm not sure if Wikipedia has this exactly correct, so forgive me if they don't, but Chiefs and then Cardinals and then Vikings and then Steelers. Talk to me about your journey in the football year of 2021 and just kind of the things that you learned, because, you know, your professional career for two seasons was all Green Bay all the time. And now you're kind of bouncing around the league, getting onto practice squads, sort of seeing what different organizations are run like.
Right. Yeah. We did the cross country journey, the whole road trip. And it started home in KC. So, you know, that was a dream come true. I mean, we talked about that a little bit, but just getting a chance to play for the home team that I grew up, you know, loving and cheering for was an awesome experience. Things didn't work out there how I'd like to. And then a couple months later, ended up in Arizona with Kingsbury and that staff. And like you said, bounced from Minnesota to Pittsburgh. But just kind of to sum up all those different stops, I learned a lot. It was a lot of great experiences being around different coaches and players and just seeing different facilities around. And from the playbook to practice, obviously you want to be in a place and stay there. But, you know, my kind of story was I got released and bounced to a different place each week, and then just kind of take what you can and grow as a player. My time up in Minnesota was really cool. Obviously being close to Fargo and a lot of fans are, you know, Bison fans and Vikings fans. So that was a sweet experience being there for the week.
It sure was. Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine an offense more different than between Cliffs and North Dakota State's.
Right.
So, what have you been told? So I guess before we get there, bring me back to, because I wondered this. Did the USFL, did you put your name kind of in a hat? I mean, did you let them know that, like, hey, I'm a draftable player for this? Or how did this all happen? Because I think people are kind of confused, or not necessarily even confused, just wondering, like, okay, where are they pulling these names out of?
Right. Yeah, the USFL took a different approach with how they ran their league from the other spring leagues. How they did it was they wanted guys to commit to the contract before they did their draft. Because, like, with the XFL, guys, I guess, put their name out there, and then they drafted them, and they either opted out or played in the CFL or got NFL opportunities. And they wanted to make sure if they were drafting guys, they were going to show up, you know, when camp started. So right, I signed a contract that I was wanting to play and be involved in the league. And then this past week I was blessed enough to get drafted by one of the teams, and now I'm going to go play for the New Jersey Generals.
But you're not going to play in New Jersey. That's the second thing that I wanted to get into, which is what kind of your expectations are. From what I understand, they're going to try and do everything in a bubble in Birmingham, and then the next season maybe have four host cities, and God willing, there's a third season. Now, I'm sure, God willing, you're back in the NFL by that point. But, you know, then they're going to actually host these games in their actual cities. What have you been told to expect from a day-to-day operation standpoint, practice, et cetera, games? What have you been told to expect this spring?
Right. I mean, you kind of hit it on the head with the details of it all. But so far, it's been moving really fast with USFL and Fox side of things. We haven't gotten a ton of detailed information, but from what I know is, yeah, we're going to all head down to Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to have the eight teams all there in a hub city, which I think is an awesome idea to cut costs and make things more manageable and have success in year one for a new startup league. And, yeah, we're going to be there playing, I guess, at the facilities that I think UAB use. So I've never been down there, and I look forward to getting down there and seeing the city and, you know, how things are.
Yeah, Alabama's football country. It doesn't matter what city. But your expectations for the league, I guess, you know, it's one of those things where I'm sure every player in that league wants to have success and wants to win games, but let's call it what it is. It's a showcase. The best players from this league are likely to get another shot with the NFL in the summer. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head, man. That is, I guess, essentially the end goal. I think where a lot of guys are at, though, they want to go down there and better themselves. My plan is to go down there and get better, improve, win games, win a championship. But you can't ignore that side of it, that it is a business and that you do want to use this opportunity to springboard into the NFL. And for my situation, I guess I saw it as NFL opportunities might come, they might not. I could sit around and wait, but why not go down here and get an opportunity to go play in an awesome league and showcase my talents?
You keep mentioning getting better. What does getting better look like for Darius Shepherd? What does Darius Shepherd need to do to get better?
I think it's going out there and consistently playing at a high level. Whether it's returner, receiver, and actually getting, you know, good film on out there on myself. You know, I was able to play a decent amount in Green Bay, but you know, like you said, there's some mistakes out there and things I need to improve on. So I think just going out there and showing that I've worked on those things and I can, you know, win consistently versus man coverage, make plays in the return game, secure the ball, make explosive plays, and show that I'm just a complete full, well-rounded football player.
All right, Shep, I believe the USFL first games are April 16th, something like that?
Yes, sir, and it's actually the Generals who are going to be playing in that first inaugural game. It's the Generals and the Birmingham Stallions, April 16th. I think it's a Saturday night.
Okay.
So you guys will check us out.
Hey, we will. I mean, we'll get the people going. We will direct the eyes of Bison Nation to the USFL. I think Fox is like a major partner, so I would guess that these guys have the TV situation on lockdown, whether it's Fox, whether it's FS1, FS2. I'm guessing these games are going to be easily accessible, and at Bison Report, we will certainly provide the ability to watch. Shep, we appreciate your time, man. Absolute best of luck, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you, Ross. You guys have a good one, man.
Want to thank Shep for his time. Always great to talk to. Calls me sir. Like nobody calls. I don't deserve to be called sir, but calls me sir. I get a kick out of that. Just a polite human, good human. Shep's awesome, man. We really appreciate him and certainly appreciate his time. All right, let's get Nate Zastro on the phone here to talk a little Bison hoops.
Hello.
Hey, buddy, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Big doings last night. One of the greatest covers in college basketball history as the South Dakota State Jackrabbits were laying 3.5 points to Oral Roberts and go up 4. Azmus comes down, hits a meaningless 3, And then Shireman throws an even more meaningless bomb to Doug Wilson, who lays it in, gets fouled, and makes the free throw to cover. That, of all the funny business bad beats, that looked like some of the funniest business of all time.
Yeah, you know, fortunately, I used to do that back in the day, and you see those all the time. I don't know. I'm guessing most of us watch the bad beats with Van Pelt, and it's crazy some of the stuff that happens and how close Vegas is with those over-unders and even the spreads. But that was kind of nuts. And, I mean, South Dakota State was down pretty much the whole game and kind of battled their way back in the second half, and we're still down three with under a minute left. Glad they won. We needed NDSU needed them to win. Makes their path to that two seed a lot easier now.
Yeah, I would assume, you know, that they will be favored, they being South Dakota State, when they take on Kansas City in Kansas City. And that makes NDSU overwhelming favorites against the last place team in the league, that being the Fighting Hawks of North Dakota. I haven't been, you know, paying a ton of attention to UND, especially since they were eliminated from Summit League tournament contention. But it appears that big man Mitchell Sucre is hurt. He was not in the box score when they lost to St. Thomas on Tuesday at home. And ultimately, you know, this comes down to me, two things for me. A, stop Paul Bruns. He was nasty. Their freshman shooter, lefty out of South Dakota, good player. But really, the only, I mean, Penoam can get going, I guess, from outside if you let him. But get Bruns stopped and just show up. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. And I know, you know, that there's no reason to believe that a Coach Richmond team won't show up. But that's kind of the thing for me, right, Nate, is just show up. Be the team you need to be. Don't take these guys lightly. Show up.
Yeah, and there's a lot on the line, obviously, for NDSU, and not much on the line for UND. But they're still going to treat it as a rivalry game, and they're going to want some bragging rights and some momentum carrying into next season for guys who are going to stick around. And with new guys coming in, you don't want to end the season with a loss when the season's been how it's been for UND. And NDSU has everything to play for. You can't just go on the road and win in the Summit League. We've seen that. There's been some closer battles than there should be. NDSU just needs to set the tone from the start. Get up early and just roll and just show that you're the better team from the tip.
You know, because they definitely are. I mean, that's I don't think, you know, people understand. And look, North Dakota State made a living of making things harder on themselves than they needed to be. You know, that was the deal all year at the Shack, unfortunately. You know, very uncharacteristic to lose three conference games at home. Very, very uncharacteristic. And ultimately, you know, letting other teams that weren't very good stick around as well. You know, UND stuck around for way too long in that game. Omaha stuck around for way too long in that game. They needed a miracle to beat USD at home. I'm not sure if they just got too comfortable or what happened, but it wasn't great at home this year for the Bison, especially, you know, how Coach Richmond started his career barely ever dropping a game in the home arena. But these Fighting Hawks, man, they're not good. They're 6-24. They're 2-15 in the conference. They've lost four straight games. They're going to retain their coach. Everything that I've heard is that Paul Sather is going to continue on. And I guess it is senior day, but man, just it's hard for me, outside of the rivalry aspect of it, it's hard for me to really imagine UND getting up for this game or really wanting to even play. I mean, the season's over. There's not even the fun idea of, you know, pulling that 8-1 upset in round one of the Summit League tournament. There's no fun.
Yeah, coaches have a tough job because you obviously are going to have a team that's like, this is the last game of the year. We're ready for this year to get over with. Sometimes coaches get that attitude too, where they're just ready for the season to get over with.
Right.
Get to the recruiting trail and make sure that we're better next year. I think the rivalry has lost a little bit of the sting with kind of this generation. You kind of can tell that it's still there with some of the older Bison fans. But playing twice a year, it kind of doesn't have the same juice that it used to have. And obviously, me being from Wisconsin, I know the history, but not completely the hatred in the history. But when you play twice a year and
it kind of loses that thing too. So it'll be interesting. I mean, you see teams where if NDSU gets up 15, 20 points or even double digits, UND might just be done. Like, it just, like, that's it. So that's why I think it's important for them. Get out to a hot start. Don't let UND stick around and all of a sudden they want to go beat their rival NDSU on senior day to carry some momentum forward. So come out from the tip, and they're a way better team, and they need to prove that from the start.
They are. And as we mentioned, you know, I'm going to look at real quick here, look at a number on ESPN, because they've got that really fancy, and it's largely meaningless, but that doesn't mean it's not fun.
86.3.
For whom?
For NDSU.
Yeah, that wasn't what I was doing, Nate. Quit interrupting. God! So South Dakota State has a 66% chance via BPI to beat the Ruse. And that's actually an interesting one, because Bison fans can watch that one. The NDSU game is at 1 up in Grand Forks. So the Swinney Rec Center, I'm guessing this game's going to be on Kansas City's streaming, because that's how I've had to watch every Kansas City NDSU game in KC that wasn't, I wasn't there physically live for. I'm guessing that's going to be on their streaming service, but there's a lot to play for. And I already hear you tinfoil hat people talking about maybe Eric Henderson won't play his guys. That, you know, he wants to, you know, maybe South Dakota State wants to line things up the way they want them, maybe avoiding Kansas City in round one, maybe getting to NDSU sooner, maybe making NDSU play three games in three nights. Because, look, man, the Bison had the ball late with a chance to beat South Dakota State in the Shack and at Frost. I'm not saying the Bison are a better team, because this is one of the better Summit League teams I've seen in a long time in South Dakota State. But they had the opportunity to lose to NDSU at both places. NDSU will make them shoot twos. NDSU will make them uncomfortable. NDSU will also be an underdog in that potential matchup. Let's not get it twisted. But I think Eric Henderson is smart enough to know who the biggest threat is, and that's North Dakota State. And with that said, there's not going to be any funny business. In my opinion, there's not going to be any funny business. All his guys are going to play, because here's what's on the line. The difference between maybe a 13 seed and a 12 seed. That 12-5, baby. That NDSU-Oklahoma. It happens all the time. You've seen 13s beat 4s. It does happen. But that 12-5, man, that's the thing. Plus, you get to say, hey, that 13-14 NDSU team may not have been the best in Summit League history. We were at 12-2. First team ever undefeated Summit League run. Ever. First team ever. Kansas City's got a lot on the line, too. They can play three games in 4 days instead of three games in 3 days. They can get 20 wins for head coach Billy Donlin. Still, though, I think the Jacks are literal 2-1 favorites. They have a 66% chance of winning. And Kansas City has 34, according to BPI. Nate,
I'm here. You got to play your guys. There's no way Hendo's not going to play his guys. There's literally 0% chance he doesn't play his guys. I don't think he's looking at matchups. They want to go 27-4. They want to be the first team in Summit League history to go undefeated. If there is any slim at large chance that there is, a loss here ends that. I mean, you're not going to just stop a 17 game win streak because you want NDSU to play three games in 3 days. It's thought about, it's maybe discussed, but ultimately you're playing to win the game. There's no way those kids want to go out and not play in the final regular season game to not be undefeated in their conference season. It'll be a good game. I mean, Kansas City's playing probably one of the, besides South Dakota State, might be playing the best of any team in the Summit League right now. And they got a lot going for them. They basically control their own destiny if they win, they're the two seed. So it'll be interesting, especially with that NDSU game at 1 o'clock and that game at 7 o'clock. So we'll kind of need to know who we need to root for And I'm kind of interested if UMKC gets that, or to see what USD does against Oral Roberts as well, because Oral Roberts is a loss away from the four seed. And then we know what they did last year as the four seed when they played South Dakota State in the semis. So, like we thought the whole year, the top three, we thought it would be three. I think UMKC kind of surprised us a little bit, but it's a pretty top-heavy league here.
Yeah, it is, and that UMKC South Dakota game was not as close as the final score. At one point in that game, it was 35-14 KC, and you know there was a little run from USD at the end, but that win probability, once the game got going, the win probability for KC never dipped really below 95. I mean, they were the guys, and I think it's a four-team league, man. I really do. I thought it was five. It's not. It's four. And that's just because South Dakota gave NDSU fits twice. The four teams in this league are, and that's the fun thing about, you know, South Dakota State and their failures in March. They're going to have to beat two good teams again. They're going to have to beat North Dakota State, KC, or Oral Roberts, I think, to win a championship. They're going to have to beat two of those teams. So
it'll that's if they don't struggle with an 8 seed again.
Yeah.
we know how that goes.
If they lose a 1-8 again, it's officially just called a jackrabbit. That's what that is. If they lose a third 1-8 matchup, it's just called pulling a jackrabbit.
Pulling a jack. I like it.
All right, Nate, we are running out of time. Folks, any of you that can, go invade Grand Forks. Show these guys your support. Last regular season game, Tyree Edie, Rocky Cruiser, Sam Griesel. Shout to the sip-off before tip-off, too. We'll be there. Nate had a little sip-off before tip-off experience. Thank you to Big Deck Barbecue Company. Folks, buy your championship gold. It is delicious. Thank you to the great people at Herd and Horns as well. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody, and go Bison.